If you are a young woman in America, or you care about a young woman in America, pay attention to this, because it will forever change your life.
Brett Kavanaugh has been so aggressively hostile to abortion rights and so eager to establish a license to discriminate, and that is why we are worried.
Will trans people be allowed in the military? No. Will sexual orientation and gender identity be read as sex discrimination?
Forget about it. Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Oral arguments against India's sodomy law sound good. Another gay pair is flogged in Aceh despite government assurances to the contrary. And queers confront the U.S. high court crisis. Those stories and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 14th, 2018. India's Supreme Court began hearing oral arguments this week in yet another challenge to Penal Code Section 377. The law dates back to 1861 and is a holdover from British colonial rule. It criminalizes consensual adult same-gender sex, along with bestiality, as against the order of nature, and punishes those acts with up to life in prison. Its supporters insist that the law is rarely prosecuted, so the High Court case is basically much ado about nothing. But opponents point to the stigma it places on sexual and gender variant people in the country of 1.3 billion and say it's often used by thugs or even by police officials to extort closeted individuals. And the National Record Bureau, which only established a database for prosecutions under 377 in 2014, reported that more than 2,000 cases were filed during 2016 alone under the law.
The Delhi High Court struck down Section 377 in 2009 as a violation of human rights. Prompted by appeals lodged by Hindu, Christian, and Muslim groups, the Supreme Court overruled that decision in 2013, reinstating the law and saying that only Parliament could repeal it. But a ruling by the Supreme Court late last year established a constitutional right to privacy, which seems to have precipitated the judge's reconsideration of that 2013 Section 377 ruling. The challenge this time also has the support of not only queer and human rights groups, including India's NAS Foundation, which filed the first challenge to the law, but a very visible celebrity plaintiffs. A well-known hotelier, a famous chef, a respected journalist, an accomplished businesswoman, and a classical dancer each told the court this week how Section 377 made them feel ashamed and directly challenged their chances of a happy life.
After refusing to declare a position, the government of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi told the judges this week that it would defer to the wisdom of the court and not intervene on either side. Equality supporters were encouraged by initial comments by one of the judges, who declared that same-gender sex is a variation in nature, not an aberration. An outspoken opponent of repeal, Suresh Kumar Kushal, told the court that the law needed to be maintained to protect national security. Indian soldiers, he warned, would have sex with each other on the job if not for fear of Section 377.
In other news, despite statements last year by the Indonesian provincial governor of Aceh, Irwandi Yusuf, that corporal punishments for violations of Islamic law would not be carried out publicly, two young men were flogged this week in the public square after being caught having consensual gay sex. The governor's claim to keep such acts behind closed doors followed worldwide revulsion to the published images last year of two young gay men being humiliated and brutally caned in the public square as the crowd cheered after being caught engaging in consensual sex. The two young men this week each received more than 80 lashes as the crowd chanted, "Harder, harder." Like the couple last year, they were taken into custody by religious vigilantes and turned over to the police. Agence France-Presse reports that they were actually the second gay couple to suffer that punishment this year. It also noted that Aceh Governor Yusuf, who called last year's global criticism of the canings Islamophobic, was himself arrested last week on corruption charges. Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim-majority nation, but its laws are generally secular. Aceh officials, however, were given permission to rule under strict Islamic law by the national government in 2001 to resolve a provincial demand for independence. Public floggings are common in Aceh for other infractions that include gambling, non-marital sex, and selling or drinking alcohol in public.
Australia's Uniting Church this week became the first religious body since civil marriage became legal there to allow its ministers to officiate the weddings of lesbian and gay couples. The church had defined marriage as a union between a man and a woman, but new language approved this week by its governing body, the Assembly, says that, for Christians, marriage is the freely given consent and commitment in public and before God of two people to live together for life. Ministers, however, can still choose to perform or opt out of officiating the marriages of same-gender couples. As with several other faith groups, the Uniting Church has wrestled with the treatment of gays and lesbians for a number of years. The new marriage language followed a 3-year study recommending the change that was first approved by the Assembly's Standing Committee. The Uniting Church has almost 1 million members, according to the 2016 census, the third largest Christian denomination down under behind Roman Catholic and Anglican churches. The Assembly also affirmed the sovereignty this week of the First Peoples of Australia.
A committee in Israel's Knesset, or parliament, approved a bill this week to extend surrogacy rights to single women. Such services are now only available to infertile married heterosexual couples. However, the committee rejected an amendment by a vote of 8-4 that would have also extended surrogacy rights to same-gender couples. Those couples can now hire surrogates in other countries, but it's a very expensive process fraught with legal obstacles. Openly gay MP Amir Ohana, who had proposed the Queer Couple Inclusive Amendment, told the Jerusalem Post that he was just asking for a little humanity. Moti Yogev, a right-wing Knesset member, spouted the usual debunked blather about a child needing a mother and a father and asked, "Who gave us permission to bring children into a deficient situation?" But Itzik Shmuli, the first Israeli lawmaker to come out while in office, complained that, "We are good enough to serve the country, but not to be parents. It's an insult I cannot describe."
Members of the Appropriations Committee of the Republican-controlled U.S. House of Representatives approved a proposal this week to allow child welfare and adoption agencies to refuse to consider same-gender couples based on sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions. All the Republicans but one voted in favor, while the Democrats were unanimously opposed. The proposal amended a major funding bill for the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi slammed what she called this disgusting, deeply immoral, and profoundly offensive effort. David Stacey of the Human Rights Campaign wrote that, "Any member of Congress who supports this amendment is clearly stating that it is more important to them to discriminate than it is to find loving homes for children in need."
A report on the Slate website this week warned that the Department of Health and Human Services is taking money from the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program to pay for the additional costs of detaining people who cross the U.S. southern border illegally. The report says the Health and Human Services Department's Office of Refugee Resettlement will need an extra 25,400 beds just for the children, which would create a budget deficit at the agency of $585 million. Officials say that the agency is already caring for about 11,800 children. They wouldn't say exactly how much the agency intends to reallocate from the Ryan White program, only confirming that the process has already begun. While the Trump administration claims that immigration agents are no longer separating children from their parents, eyewitness accounts in a number of detention facilities suggest otherwise. And as we record this newscast, it appears that Trump officials will have failed to meet a federal court-ordered deadline to reunite detained children under the age of 5 with their parents. According to PAWS magazine, Trump's proposed 2019 budget already cuts millions of dollars from the Ryan White program, along with AIDS housing programs and HIV/AIDS programs of the Centers for Disease Control. California Democratic Representative Barbara Lee tweeted that the idea of taking money from the Ryan White program to jail immigrant kids was unacceptable on so many levels, I don't know where to start.
But finally, maybe it's because we're getting older, but activism seems to be getting younger and younger these days.
My name is Molly Pinta. I am 12 years old, gay, and proud. As a gay child, I would love to see a pride celebration in my town. I recently went to Aurora's parade, and it was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen.
Molly wants to bring a first-ever pride parade to her Illinois hometown, Buffalo Grove. Her mom has created a GoFundMe page to raise the estimated $30,000 it would take to stage the event. Soon after attending Aurora Pride, Molly came out to members of her middle school's Gay Straight Alliance, a group she helped create. According to NBC News, she then reached out to Indivisible Aurora, the grassroots group behind the first Pride parade in that Chicago suburb. They agreed to back Molly's idea of bringing an inaugural Pride parade to Buffalo Grove. Her GoFundMe page says the first Buffalo Grove Pride parade will be held on June 2, 2019. City officials have quickly jumped on board. They've already scheduled meetings for Molly with the Buffalo Grove Police Department to map out a route.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending July 14th, 2018. Written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the new and improved thiswayout.org. where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
Transgender people will not go back to being an uninsurable pre-existing condition.
Can the Kavanaugh nomination for the U.S. Supreme Court be blocked? We've got analysis of the high tension ahead for the High Court. But first, in the present political climate, it's a good thing that dance is not a pre-existing condition.
Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. An all-male dance company known as Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo is no ordinary ballet troupe. These men dance all the parts, their heavy bodies delicately balancing on toes as swans, water sprites, or romantic princesses, using over-the-top camp and loads of slapstick. They often open with a rendition of Act Two of Swan Lake, wearing pink tutus and palm frond-sized eyelashes. Affectionately known as the Trocs, they were founded in 1974, first performing in the Late Late shows and off-off-Broadway lofts. In no time, audiences were eating it up with a spoon. Catching the eye of mainstream dance critics, they were hailed as an artistic and popular success. In fact, the Trocs have established themselves as a major dance phenomenon throughout the world, appearing in over 500 cities worldwide. Looks like this troupe will keep on trocking. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios of WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Tom Miller.
Young love, our love, we share with deep emotion.
Hello, I'm Tab Hunter, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all of our sexually diverse communities.
I'm traditional marriage.
But what do you say to a lesbian who's married or a gay man who's married who says, Donald Trump, what's traditional about being married three times?
Well, they have a very good point.
While the Trump administration has failed to chalk up many points on the legislative scoreboard, it's been winning the game when it comes to judicial appointments, especially on the U.S. Supreme Court. Thanks to the senatorial machinations that blocked President Barack Obama from nominating a high court justice during his last year in office, the retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy last month has given Trump the chance to pick his second extremely conservative nominee. LGBTQ activists and progressive leaders are sounding the alarm about replacing the frequently swing-voting Kennedy with D.C. Circuit Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Gay USA TV's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum reviewed Kavanaugh's lengthy paper trail of rulings from the bench and legal opinions he's written for scholarly journals.
He dissented in a case where the court allowed a 17-year-old immigrant girl who was in detention to get an abortion when she realized she was pregnant. He said, oh, no, that's too quick. No, we can't allow that. She may have a right to, but really, she should be assigned to a foster care family before this decision is made. Notwithstanding that that drags out the time that she is pregnant with the clock ticking, he really would rather that she not have an
abortion. So that's going to be the major thing on that he's going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
He also, in a case that preceded Hobby Lobby, said that companies should have the right to withhold coverage of birth control for their employees and should not have to fill out the form referring the employee to an insurance company that will give them coverage.
So that's one of the big things that that our side is going to try to get him on. The other one is the fact that he criticized the Supreme Court for upholding the Affordable Care Act, and they feel that he's going to overturn that. He's totally against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He's against net neutrality, which you rely on to get, you know, to websites. He thinks those things are unconstitutional. He was on the team on Bush v. Gore.
Yes, defending Bush's election chances in the whole Florida recount thing.
When the United States Supreme Court ruled that detainees on Guantanamo were entitled to challenge their detentions, he tried to undermine that ruling in many ways and actually rendered it rather toothless. He's been on the D.C. Circuit for 12 years.
He's also against workers having rights to the extent we think they should.
Except when they want to bring guns to work. I mean, he's totally
pro-gun,
for gun rights. And he's opponent of environmental regulations.
Yep.
He's totally pro-business. Labor always loses. Business wins.
He's against voting rights. He voted to uphold a voter ID law in North Carolina.
The steps of the Supreme Court were the scene of sober warnings from Democratic Senate Judiciary Committee members the day after the Kavanaugh nomination was announced, where about 1,000 defiant activists had rallied the night before. Senators Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, and Kamala Harris each cited a range of concerns.
Because the issue of gun safety is so important to me, I want to mention how extreme Kavanaugh's views are in this area. Even though 5 circuit courts have upheld bans against assault weapons, he argued in 2011 against Washington, D.C.'s ban because weapons like AR-15s are in, quote, common use, end quote.
He's even argued that sitting presidents shouldn't face criminal investigation. No investigation of a president. Is it any wonder that President Trump chose Kavanaugh from the list of 25? When we know he's obsessed with this investigation? He even said that a president doesn't have to follow a law if the president deems it, his words, unconstitutional.
Let's be clear about what this is about. It's about government taking on the decision about a woman and what she does with her body instead of giving that woman and her family and her God the power to make the decision for herself. So if you are a young woman in America or you care about a young woman in America, pay attention to this because it will forever change your life.
Mara Keisling of the National Center for Transgender Equality inspired hope at the rally the night before by reminding the crowd that an aroused citizenry has protected the Affordable Care Act, at least so far, and Senator Cory Booker called on the people to renew that kind of commitment.
People thought we couldn't save the ACA, and we saved it over and over and over again. Are we ready to save it again? This fight is not about R's and D's, senators. This fight is about the ACA. It's about Roe v. Wade. It is about protecting people's health and their lives. Transgender people will not go back to being an uninsurable pre-existing condition.
We stand strong. We stand together. We stand convicted. Everybody now. This won't just be decided in the United States Senate. Everybody in around America must decide now. Do we want to go backward 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years?
Hell no!
Lambda Legal CEO Rachel Tiven told Democracy Now! Why Kavanaugh's addition to the court would have a long-lasting and far-reaching impact.
I think what's crucial here is we cannot afford 40 more years of Trump values on this court. And we have to—what we've learned from the Trump presidency is that you have to believe what people say. You have to watch what they do and take them at their word. And Brett Kavanaugh has been so aggressively hostile to abortion rights and so eager to establish a license to discriminate for people who don't feel comfortable following non-discrimination law. And that is why we are worried. Abortion rights are the foundation of individual liberty in the United States. And if abortion rights fall, and we are one vote away from possibly seeing Roe versus Wade, not just abortion, but birth control undermined, if that happens, then LGBTQ people are directly at risk. It is the foundation of individual liberty and our rights to be free, not just marriage equality, but free in our own bedrooms, are really at risk.
Let's take a second to just remember what issues are likely to come before this new Supreme Court.
Again, GayUSA TV's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum.
Marriage equality. Will this be thrown back to the states for individual state decisions and no more federal government approval of same-sex marriage and federal benefits out the window, of course. Abortion, reproductive freedom rights. Will freedom of religion be elevated to an extent where
yes.
Civil laws make no difference? Will trans people be allowed in the military? No. Will sexual orientation and gender identity be read as sex discrimination?
Forget about it.
David Cole of the American Civil Liberties Union discussed Kennedy's pivotal role on the court on Democracy Now! And chartered the way forward with Lambda Legal's Rachel Tiven.
Justice Kennedy was also a conservative, appointed by a Republican president, and voted often with the conservatives, particularly on business cases. He had an open mind, and he believed in an evolving constitution. And as a result, he was actually—he was willing to listen and willing to depart from the sort of script and to side with the liberals in some cases, with the conservatives in others. And as a result, he kept the court within the mainstream of American society, notwithstanding that it's had a majority of conservative justices for the last 40 years. He wrote all of the court's gay rights decisions, a number of them, 5-4, including the marriage equality. He was the fifth vote to preserve Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. He was the fifth vote to strike down the death penalty for juvenile. He was the fifth vote to hold that disparate impact is a violation of the Fair Housing Act, a critical interpretation of a civil rights statute. He was the fifth vote to save affirmative action. So, you know, if it weren't for Justice Kennedy, we would be living in a very, very different constitutional world.
I want to emphasize how much people's lives are at stake. If the Affordable Care Act is utterly gutted and overturned by this court. That has a drastic effect on the lives of LGBTQ people, and particularly people living with HIV. At the time that the ACA was first passed, 17% of people living with HIV had access to private health insurance, and that left a huge gap in care. The ACA has been transformative for the lives of people living with HIV and AIDS. This is a death sentence if it is overturned by an activist court that doesn't really care whether people live or die.
You know, the question will be, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, and we have five more conservative justices on the court, will we be living in a very different world? And I think the answer—we don't know the answer, but I think we know this. The answer depends more on us than it does on Justice Kavanaugh. If we go to the polls at the midterms, if we go to the polls in 2020, if we turn this moment around into a galvanizing moment for those who believe in civil rights and civil liberties, and the politics of the country reflects that, I think we can.
Popular support for saving the Affordable Care Act was massive. Right? And so if everybody who called their senators about the ACA calls their senators about this nomination, it is absolutely possible to say that Brett Kavanaugh's views are not adequate to represent the American people.
And we'll rise up.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh has already begun making the rounds in the Senate ahead of his confirmation hearing. Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has vowed to have the new justice in place before the Supreme Court convenes in October. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Sarah Sweeney, produced with Brian DeShazer from Democracy Now!, and Ann Northrup and Andy Hum on their Gay USA TV program. Andra Day performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Help keep our 30-year streak going at the new and improved thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Ciappella and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WRFZ Rochester, New York, KGHI Westport, Washington, 5RRR Woomera, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.